Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host, and it is my privilege and pleasure to be back amongst my listening audience once again. I just praise God for this opportunity as we come together to study the Word of God. And as we open the Word of God, we come into the presence of God. And every time you and I come into the presence of God, we are changed by the presence of God. So we thank God for this opportunity. But let us approach the throne of grace. Father, we just come and thank you, Master, for allowing this program to go forth and allowing this opportunity that we, your children, may come into your presence to study your holy, inspired Word. We pray now, Father, that your Spirit would lead, God, and direct us. Have your way with our hearts and our minds, Lord. We want to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to do everything that is pleasing to you in your sight. Master, remove those things that are unpleasing in our lives that we might glorify and edify your name. Forgive us of our trespasses and our sins. Master, we love you with a whole heart. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, we're in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, and we began last week as we talked about the multiplication of the disciples in the church. The church now is growing, and with growth there are some problems that start to arise. And anytime an organization grows rapidly, it will most times be issues and problems that you and I need to learn how to deal with. In this case, in the biblical case, it says the Grecian Jews were complaining against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. In other words, there was a food portion that was given to them. The widows were taken care of by the church. And like I said last week, in biblical times, the welfare system, if you will, was taken care of by the church, not the government. And over the years, the church has neglected this important role and allowed the government to mandate the welfare system. Now, I'm going to leave that alone and just go ahead and move on. But some grumblings arose, and I want to bring out again the difference between the two Jewish sects, if you will. They had the Hebrew Jews who were born in Palestine, but there was the Grecian Jews who were also known as the Hellenists. And those were the Jews that had been scattered and deported and dispersed all over the world by the Romans. So they had picked up and adopted the Greek culture. They spoke the Greek language and even may have used the Greek Bible, the Septuagint. And so the Hebrew Jews always having been taught to reject and despise anything that was Grecian. So we know now that there were some cliques, if you will, building in the church. And we know how dangerous cliques are in the church. We know when we allow divisions in the church and the church to be fragmented into specialized groups, that hinders the forward progress of the church, but it also brings a blight upon our Holy Father. And that way, we should not allow cliques to transpire in our church. When we start to see them, we should do everything to eradicate them. We should make sure that we smooth the waters, not just by ignoring things and trying to get along at any cost. I'm not trying to propagate that, but I am saying that when cliques begin to rise in the church, we need to get to the core issue of the problem. So we find here now that when this was brought before the apostles, that they said, "Wherefore, brethren," in verse 3, "look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, I don't want to get into controversies or anything else like that, but I do think I need to say this, that it is almost a shame sometimes what has happened in the church today. We see now the fledging deacon ministry in its upstart. We see the reason it came about. We understand that later on in the Bible, in the New Testament, further on in Timothy and Titus, we're given the qualifications, if you will, of the deacon ministry after it's fully established in the church. But this is the foundational start of the deacon ministry. And it is a shame what has transpired in the churches today, where there's a power struggle between pastor and deacons. We are to be together as a team. We ought to work in conjunction with one another. And we find right here that the apostles said to the church, go ahead, you chose the seven men among you of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And as we go a little further into the text, we'll understand what's going on. So we need to understand that as leaders, we need to declare and understand the primary call and mission of our ministry. So the apostles are saying our ministry is one of prayer and study of the word. And so we can't take away from the time that we would have in prayer and the study of the word to wait on tables. Now, that doesn't mean that going out amongst the people is not important. It is important. But the primary mission and call of the apostle life or the preacher, or the pastor, is to study and pray. He says, but first, verse 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. If I do not have time as a pastor to study the word and to pray, then I don't hear the voice of God. And if I don't hear the voice of God, then I'm not going to be able to correctly feed the church what the church needs. And we have some mindsets sometimes in our churches today that the pastor is the only one that can do anything. And that's not true. That's not even biblically true. So we need to just sometimes go back to the basics and understand what it is that we ought to do in our respective ministries. Now, the church at this time was not adequately organized to minister to all. Some were going without. The Grecian widows were complaining, hey, we're not getting our fair share of the daily ministrations. And there was some favoritism that was being shown, obviously. So the apostles could have been easily sidetracked and caught up in a day-to-day ministry, but a ministry of sitting and listening and serving and meeting the needs of the needy. But that's not their call. Their church duty was to study and to pray. So now there's a breaking point at which ministers must put up a guard and protect their primary call to proclaim the word of God. I know that I go out amongst the people as much as I can, but there is a point that I have to begin to back down and allow my deacons to do the ministry of the needs of the people. That's why it is so critically important that deacons and pastors have a strong relationship and not a combative relationship. This is not about a power struggle. And there's a whole historical thing, how that came about and all of that. I understand how that came about. And for those of you that maybe not be familiar with it, in days gone by when pastors might pastor more than one church, a church on first and third Sunday, and then pastor another church on second and fourth Sunday, the deacons were left in charge of the church while the vacancy of the pastor was pastoring at another church. So therefore, they made all the decisions for the church in the absence of the pastor. Well, that has kind of passed down, and without making a long, making a long story short, it basically began to take root a power struggle. Now, sometimes you go into churches where the deacons think they run the pastor, and that's not what the Bible says. So when we start to do those kinds of things, we are out of order with the word of God, and that will never bring about the harmony of the church that's needed to grow the church. Amen? So now a new office was being created for the help of the work of the ministry. So therefore, we see what's going on. It says, first of all, they had to be men of honest report, well attested, well reported of, bearing a good witness, having a good reputation. The deacon's character was to be proven and be beyond reproach. They had to be men of integrity. They had to be faithful and trustworthy, moral and upright, men that can be trusted by all. Secondly, they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The deacon was to be conscious of Christ dwelling within him, aware of being filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And then thirdly, he had to be full of wisdom, be able to discern, to see through, to make judgments. So the deacon ministry is not just to-do ministry. It is a critical ministry because they are out amongst the people. They are ministering to the needs of the people, but also the people need to be able to develop a full trust in their deacon. And therefore, when they do that and the men are full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost and be able to discern things, they can sit and counsel some. to a point, and then at some point they may have to turn it over to the pastor. But the deacon is to be the pastor's first line of defense. And when we realize the fullness of the ministry that God has given a deacon, it's more than just running around the church being the church gopher, because there are members of the church that think that's all the deacons are to do, is every time they have a need, the deacon is supposed to jump. But it's more than that. It's much, much more than that. It's a profound ministry. They didn't just say, go find you some able-bodied men. They said, go find men with these specific qualifications. And verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, I want you to realize also that these were all Grecian names. So, again, there was a need to fulfill the needs of the Grecian widows, and because this need was now being met, I believe that God met it with Grecian men, so there would be an instant harmony while the Lord would work in our hearts, because even though the Lord understands what we need to do, sometimes we are slow learners, if you will. Amen. So let's move a little further. This is verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now that is critically important to the ordination of the deacon, that it says the apostles prayed. So in other words, they listened to the voice of God to be confirmed that these were the men that they would have set in place for this fledging ministry, this new ministry. So when they prayed, then they laid the laying on of hands had transpired. And now the laying on hands now in this form, it's not a transference of power or anything like that, but it's a public acceptance of, yes, these men are now called to do the work of the deacon. And so we find that we are being blessed in this church life now, that the deacons are chosen, and the church acted in love and humility. The whole multitude of believers was pleased. The fact they were all Grecians, as I said, points toward God moving the church into the whole world. Again, we are opening up the church to be not just Jewish, but Greek also. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's about time to wind this program back down. And I keep saying, visit us on our website, www.smbc.mesa.org. And pray for me as I pray for you as we study together the Word of God to be conformed into His image. Please tune in again next week. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer. Take care and God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.